Rav Kook wrote a number of tshuvos to Rav Shlomo Zalman Pinas in 1916 about the state of Israel. Last session we spoke about where he advocates for a separate hilchos tzibur, a separate set of halachos governing the national running of a country, perhaps legislating that someone could be maybe willing to put his life on the line to serve in an army over in a war that is not necessarily a life and death situation. Related to this question is the question of the halachic status of the state of Israel. Why do we have to obey the law in a Jewish state, whether a policeman gives us a parking ticket or drafts into the army? So perhaps it's based upon the principle of Dina de Machusa Dina. This provision, this requirement is found in the Gemara in Masechet Gittin. Daf Yud Amud Beis, Shmuel says, Dina de Machusa Dina. The Rashbam and Baba Basha Daf Nadal Amud Beis essentially takes the view that Kol Nis Misim Varnonios Minhago Shemishpatei Malachim Shiragim Lahaning B'Machusa Dina, who that all taxes and practice and customs of the different laws that the kings lead their countries with and their kingdoms is the dina, is the halacha. Why should kol b'nei hamalchus mekablim aleihem miritzonam chuki hamelch mishpatav? Because the people in the kingdom accept upon themselves the laws of the king. In other words, it's based on social contract. And the Rambam in Hilchos Gzeilah v'Aveidah Perkei Halach Yudal essentially says a similar concept, and he says that this applies whether the king is a goy or whether the king is a Yisrael. It doesn't make a difference whether he's a non-Jew or a Jew. Now, you may have heard that some argue that the Dina de Machus Dina does not apply in Eretz Yisrael. Those who say that base themselves on the Ran, a Masech and the Darm, Daf Chav Chesav and Aleph, where he says that the Ran quotes Tosfos, the Daf Gubba Malchei Ovde Kochavim Amar, the Dina Machus Dina. That specifically when it comes to the non-Jewish kings, we apply the principle of Dina Machus Dina, you have to follow the law. Why? Bibnei Sha'aret Shalo, because the land belongs to the king. V'yachal Omer Lohem, and the king can say to us, "Im lo tasu mitzvosai agaresh eschem min haaretz," that I will throw you out of the land. I can kick you out of the land. So however, b'malchei Yisrael lo l'fish eretz Yisrael kol yisrael shutvim bo. However, this doesn't apply to Eretz Yisrael because the king has no right to kick a Jew out of Eretz Yisrael because we're all partners in the land of Israel. So based on his theory of how Dina b'chus Dina works, it would seem that it should not apply in Eretz Yisrael. Now, it should be noted, first of all, that the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, Simon, Shin, Samech, Tes, Seif, Vav, rules like the Rambam, so it would apply in Eretz Yisrael. But even according to the Ran, it's not so clear that we wouldn't have to follow the laws in Eretz Yisrael now. Why? Because the Chassam Sofer, in Chelek Aleph, Simon Mem Dalid states that the Ran, who says that we don't have to follow the laws based on Dina Machus Dina for in Eretz Yisrael, because we're all partners, he says the Lo Polig Ela B'Misim U'Mecha Shematil Al Korcham Sfir Lelo Shaych Lomar B'nei Medina Nichalahu Ela Mishu Mishu Adon Haaretz. Says the this where the Ran writes that we don't have to follow the laws of the Jewish kings in Eretz Yisrael because they can't throw us out of the land. That's only refers to taxes that they that the kings in Eretz Yisrael would they'd make taxes against the will of the people. They'd administer tax against the will of the people. They make rules against the will of the people. However, then you'd make a distinction between Jewish kings and non-Jewish kings. However, laws related to customs and manners, like regular laws that society has agreed upon, even the Ran would agree that these laws are binding because people agree to the king's dominion with respect to these kinds of laws. So in other words, with a government that's democratically elected, says the Chassam Sofer, even the Ran would agree that we would have to follow the laws, because maybe what if Dina de Mechusa Dina is premised upon forcible rules and the threat of kicking us out, so that might not apply to a Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael. But there still is the social contract theory of Dina Mechusa Dina, which also applies even according to the Ran, and would apply in Eretz Yisrael. And because if we agree to a democratically elected government, we'd have to follow the law of the land. So one theory as to why we have to follow the laws in Eretz Yisrael is based on Din the Mechusa Dina. However, Rav Kook in this letter in 1916 in Mishpat Kohen Siman Kuf Mem Dalet, a bunch of tshuvos relating to Inyanei Eretz Yisrael. So he writes the following. He says that the imilchamos mi mishpat amlucha hain. So first off, you want to say that the wars are based on mishpat amelach, that they're based on the king. It may be you have to follow the laws of a Jewish state, of the Jewish government, based on som tasim alach amelach. He wants to suggest that. How could He said, if wars are based, I'm sorry, if wars in general are based on the Melech, the laws of the king, how could the Chashmonaim fight against the Syrians without a king? Because why? So he says, first of all, on the Melchama HaYisodis Shel HaChashmonaim Shaisa B'Yichud Neged HaShmadu Shas Gezer Shel HaYivadim. When the Chashmonaim fought against the Greeks, when they outlawed the Jewish religion, Lashkicham Torah Sechel Havir Mechukar Tzonech, they said you can't follow Halacha. Alzein Mali Shel Klal. Obviously, in this, you can't ask how they were allowed to wage war. If you say waging war is if why? Because that Harigamal Mitzvah Kali Harig Val Yavor. Even on a light mitzvah, if there's religious persecution, you better die than violate this mitzvah. If you're allowed to die rather than violate this mitzvah, certainly you should be allowed to fight to wage war to end this religious persecution. You're allowed to wage war if there's religious persecution. So when the Hashmonaim fought the Greeks or the Syrian Greeks when the Jewish religion was outlawed, so that clearly was legitimate. But ha-melchamos ha-bos ha-acharkach, sh'gam ha-melochim ha-kshem sh'bam nuchamu, az ha-lo kvar ha-yu melochim mu-madim al-pi ha-skamas ha-umah. However, after the wars that the Hashmonaim fought, after there was no more religious persecution, so how are they allowed to do that? How are they allowed to fight, to wage war? So, and did they act as kings? So he said, yeah, they acted as kings based on the agreement of the nation. Then he goes on to ask, well, does that work? Can you have a melech? When the Pasuk says, Som tasim alecha melech, the Pasuk in Parshas Shoftim, Perikid Zayin, Pasuk Tezvav, that you have to appoint a king. Well, aren't there rules on how you have on how a king is appointed? It's there seems to be, by the way, a tension in the Pasuk itself. On the one hand, the Pasuk says, Som tasim alecha melech, asher yivchar Hashem elokecha. That God chooses. Who's God? Presumably a Navi tells you that God selects a particular person as king. So it seems that the Navi picks the king. But then the Pasuk says, Miker v'checha tosim alecha melech lo sucha lo seis alecha ish nachri asher lo chichahu. You have to pick someone who's from your brethren. You can't pick a foreign king. Now the Pasuk is giving criteria as to who are you allowed to select to be a king. Now I don't understand. I thought for the first half of the pasuk seems to say it's not. There's no criteria; just whoever the navi picks. So the first half seems to say it's based on the navi. The second half seems to say that it may not be based on the navi. It seems like maybe you can pick the king without a navi as long as you follow certain criteria. And different mefarshim try to deal with this tension. How does the Rambam deal with this? The Rambam. So in this, Rav Kook cites three different halachos of the Rambam. Number one, in the first parak of Malachim. In Hilchos Malachim Halacha Ches, the Rambam writes, Navi Shehemid Melech Mishar Shifte Yisrael, V'haya Oso Melech Holech B'derech HaTov HaMitzvah, V'nucha Melchamos Hashem. Or he's a Melech, a Navi who appoints a king, even someone from not Malchi Yehuda, and he follows the path, of God, and he wages wars for God. He is a melech, so you need a navi. Then in Halacha Gimel, he says, "Ein mamid melech mitchila el apil based in shim v'zakenim alpi navi." You need both the Sanhedrin of 71, and you need the navi. So maybe that's the chatchila, maybe that's ideal. And then in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perkei Halacha Aleph, there the Rambam writes, "Ein mamid melech el apil based in shishivecha." There it seems the only requirement is the Sanhedrin. He doesn't mention the navi. So one pasuk it seems to say if the navi appoints a king, it's valid. Another pasuk it seems to say that maybe lachatchil ideally you need both a navi and a Sanhedrin. And then another place the rabbi writes that you need a Sanhedrin. So the way Rav Kook tries to resolve this is he says bisman sheish navi b'Yisrael, when there's a navi gam b'divrei ein melech omid b'lo navi, when there is a navi, then you need a navi to appoint a king. When there's no Navi, k'shei Navi, az minapi based on a God. When there's no Navi, so then you need a Sanhedrin. And then he goes on to say, but k'sheyesh ikuv ein obed melech be based David. When there's no king be based David. K'she kavar nifzaka shal shelos ha-yerusha mikama doros ha-yedei ha-golos. That let's say the chain of inheritance has been canceled. Is that for many generations through the exile? Velonis bar mihu azach l'shev zal kisei. It's not clear who should sit on the throne. Ein mamid en gamblo navi LLP based. Then you don't need a navi anymore, but you simply need a based in. Vizeh ha yinyan malchus based chashmonai. So he says that's how the chashmonai legitimately became kings and rulers over the Jewish people. Again, you normally need a navi, but when there's no Navi, or when there's no chain, there's no Shalshelis, Yerusha, there's no chain, a lineage of different kings from Malchut Yehuda, so then, and it's not clear who should be the king, so then the Beis Din selects the king, and that's what happened with the Chashmonai. And now Rav Kook then says a famous passage dealing with a modern Jewish state. Again, Rav Kook died before the Holocaust. He died before the creation of a Jewish state, but he was discussing these issues. And he says the following, V'chutz mizeh nirim hadvarim. Aside from this, it seems very reasonable. Shebizman shein melech, at a time when there's no king. Kevan shemishpatei amluchahim gamkin ma'ashinogei lamatzav haklali shel ha'uma, that these, since the laws of the kingdom are what is relevant to the general state of the nation. These privileges revert to the hands of the nation as a whole. And it seems, in particular, that every judge who arises in Israel has the status of the king, Le'inyan kama mishpatei hamalucha, as regards to several royal prerogatives, uviyichud l'mashin ogei l'anhagas haklal, particularly those relating to the governance of the nation. He believes that Jewish people have the right to self-determination, are granted the authority to create a government, and that government is a fulfillment of som tasi melech hamelech. And based on this, governmental authorities can declare war, are responsible for, and to other people. And the prime minister and other national leaders assume prominence of the king of Israel. Again, he does write that when it comes to personal status, there you might need a navi. And there are certain rights that the king has to be, certain rights that a king has as a king for his personal status. He brings, there's a halacha about a pilegesh, can a king marry a concubine or not? He says that maybe that specific laws relating to the king, certain privileges that the king may have, that may not apply if you don't have a navi. However, l'mash and ogel and hagas klal, whatever relates to public welfare, kol shemanigas uma don hu b'mishvatei hamelucha, whoever is leading the nation with the laws of the king, he's doing this with the laws of the melech. Shem klal tzarchei uma drushim l'shai to the mabat ha'olam. And this is That basically he's saying that as long as we're concerned with the public welfare rather than personal status, the people can grant authority and power to a ruler or a governing administration set up by the people. And he brings support from the Rambam in Perek Dalet in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Halacha Yud Gimel. There the Rambam writes that Rashi Galuyos, the exilarchs Sheba Bavel, Bavel, B'makom Melech Heim Omdim. They are in the place of, they function as kings. V'eshalhem Lirdos Etz Yisrael B'chol Makom, and they could rule over the Jewish people in every place. Now the significance of this teshuva of Rav Kook is that it provided a halachic paradigm for how to understand a Jewish state and how to view our Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, not merely as a secular government that maybe you have to follow based on Dina B'chus Adina, but as a melech. Big question, though, is how a melech might be different than following the laws based on Dina B'chus Adina. Someone told me that Rav Soloveitchik may have suggested, hasn't been verified, but they may have suggested that the difference might be Kedushas Haaretz. If, let's say, the Jewish state would conquer Eretz Yisrael, so would the land that they conquer have Kedushas Haaretz? What does a lot that was conquered by the modern state of Israel, does that have Kedushas Haaretz? Again, if you believe that the current Jewish government is a fulfillment of Somtasi Melech HaMelech, so then what we're doing is the Jewish government is fulfilling the mitzvah of mitzvah min haTorah, Somtasi Melech HaMelech. And maybe there's a difference between Dina B'chus Adina and Somtasi Melech HaMelech, in that if it's Somtasi Melech HaMelech, there seems to be a requirement to govern this Jewish country grounded in Torah and Torah values, what that would look like. So different rabbani might say different things. But this idea of the current Jewish government being a fulfillment of Somtasi Melech HaMelech, that must govern by the laws of Mishpatei HaMelech, is something new that Rav Kook innovated for Klal Yisrael.